is a thing there.
Hmm?
Is a computer.
Yes, run. Good morning, good morning. I hope everybody got to listen. Not that it was anything spectacular, but I hope everybody got to listen to last week's sermon when I was over at Big Isaac, because this week is kind of a continuation of last week. And last week we were in the book of James, and I'm just going to read those couple verses real quick before we get started, because we're going to address that scripture in James, but we're going to move on to some other scriptures. But in the book of James, chapter 4, starting with verse 13, it says, "Go to now that ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanish away." And here's what we're continuing on is, "For if ye ought to say, if the Lord will." In our life, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. So we're going to continue with that this morning by saying, if the Lord's will, what is it that He would have us to do in our life? So in the world that we live in, here's where we're at in the world that we live in. Everybody is either, and we're talking about our spiritual life now. We're not talking about our worldly life or a sinful life or a worldly life. We're talking about our spiritual life. We got all these teachers, all these preachers, all these evangelists, all these people in the world that... It's either don't do this or do this in order for your spiritual life to be what God wants it to be. So we think now that in order to be a good believer, there's either things that we must do or there's things that we shouldn't be doing in our life. But here's what all this boils down to, is that all of these things that we're being taught, all these things that are being preached, all the out here in the world today, they're all man-made rules. They're all man-made regulations. They're all rituals or things that, well, we've always done this, so we got to continue to do this. So this is turning people away from the truth of God's word, because it's keeping people surrounded by things that man is bringing into the church today. So God does not want this. We should be living according to the interpretation or the truth of God's word, not man's interpretation. So what we should do or what we must do or must not do, it must be based upon the truth of God's word. And that is it. If it's based upon anything else, any other rules or regulations that we're following, it's not according to God's will. So God did not, pay attention to this, God did not give us His word so that we could just interpret it and check off, well, if I do this, I'll get to heaven. Oh, okay, so I've been baptized by water, I'm going to heaven. Okay, I'm speaking in tongues now, I'm going to go to heaven. I've done this. That's not what God's word is all about. It is not a checklist to get into heaven. But it is a schoolmaster. And we're going to read that verse. God's word is a schoolmaster to lead us into a right relationship with Him through Jesus Christ, and to show us, to show everybody, that all have sinned and we are all in need of a Savior. Amen? That's where we're at. So in the book of Galatians chapter 3, let's jump over there and read a couple of verses. In Galatians chapter 3 and 24, but I'm going to start with 22. It says, "But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin." Everybody, we were born into sin. We inherited that nature from Adam. So all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. So we can get out from under sin if we believe in Christ, in the crucifixion, the resurrection. and what Christ done for us in our life. He paid our sin debt. But he said, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up into faith, which should afterwards be revealed. So the Old Testament are those that before Christ, before grace, were under the law, but and they were looking forward to what God was going to do. They were looking for Christ to come and fulfill the law. So it says that before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up. But he said, wherefore the law was our what? It was our schoolmaster. So now, instead, and we have a lot of churches today that only preach out of the New Testament because we can forget the law. The law was fulfilled. But no, we still need the law. The law is our schoolmaster. It brings us unto Christ. That's what it says. It doesn't give us a checklist. You got to do this. You got to do this. You got to do that. But it brings us unto Christ that we might be justified through faith. What are the four things? We just mentioned them in Sunday school class. The redeeming blood of Christ. What is it? Justification, sanctification, glorification. That's right. So that we might be justified. And he said, but after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, because now we are children of God by our faith in Jesus Christ. So what does that tell us in our life? What is one of the things that we have learned, and maybe recently, maybe we've known it all along, but we've learned that all of these things that are going on in the world today, they're false. So there's a lot of false teachers out there. And here's what they're teaching. Everybody are children of God. Okay, that's one thing they're teaching. They're teaching we're all the sons of God. Number two thing we're teaching. And everybody one day is going to live eternally with God. True or false? False. There is nothing could be further from the truth. Okay? So here's what we have to do. Only those who are saved by grace through faith believing in Jesus Christ are going to become the sons of God. Meaning we're going to go on one day to be going to live with the Lord. So there's two types of people living in the world today under this grace dispensation period. Now we talk about the two types of people. We say they're the Jewish people and the Gentile people. That's not the two types we're talking about, because under grace, we all fall under the same category. So during this grace dispensation period, there's two types of people. You're either a believer or you're a non-believer. One of those two things. There is no in between. You go over in the book of Revelation, he said, if you sit on the fence, he said, I'd rather have you hot nor cold. If you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. That's talking about Christian people now. So you're either a believer or you're a non-believer. So believers are who? They're the ones that have accepted. They've accepted the saving grace of Jesus Christ. They're at peace now with God. We're eternally, we're saved, going to go on one day to be with the Lord. And the non-believers, what? Those who have rejected God. And if they continue to reject God, they have nothing to look forward to except eternal hell and condemnation. Right? The wrath that comes from God. So remaining lost in their trespasses and in their sins, and they'll face the judgment of God one of these days. So we're to live, and we need to be living by the characteristics of God without, pay attention to this, without twisting them in a manner that is pleasing unto our lifestyle. We are not to do that. The truth of God's Word is the truth of God's Word. So whatever it shows us in our life, that's what God wants us to see. So if it shows us the goodness of God, the blessings of God, if it shows us the greatness of our relationship with God, then praise God for that. But if it shows us the sin that is in our life, then what? Praise God for that too, because we need to get rid of it. So this is what the truth of God's Word does for us. So we need to do this. And when we begin to twist the gospel of the saving grace of Jesus Christ, we're doing it with no regard to the teaching of the consequences of sin. So I can't preach in my church that if you sin, there's going to be consequences, because lo and behold, you'll probably get up and leave. And that's part of my monthly salary. Anybody with me? No. Oh, you guys don't give me a monthly salary, so what am I worried about? Okay, so we have to be careful of what we are putting out there, because false prophets, when they talk about these things, they do it and it portrays their lack of the knowledge of the truth of God's Word. We want to make sure that everything that we do shows wisdom and knowledge and understanding of the truth of God's Word. We're not trying to gain worldly stature. We are trying to gain a right relationship with God. So in our life in Christ, are there do's and don'ts that come to living a life in Christ? Absolutely, there are things that we should be doing and there are things that we shouldn't be doing, but we have to make sure that these things come from the truth of God's Word. So, according to the truth of God's Word, so let me ask you this question this morning and just answer it to yourself. According to the truth of God's Word, what is at the top of everybody's to-do list? Salvation. We can't go nowhere else without it. Okay? So at the top of everybody's to-do list is, in building a life in Christ, we must be saved. We must accept the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Because if we don't, you have nothing to build on. You have to have something to build on, and if it's not a reality in your life to begin with, you're not going to have anything to build on in your life in Christ. Therefore, we will have no life in Christ. So I'm going to go to the book of John, and let me read you this story in the book of John, chapter 3, starting with verse 1. And it's a really familiar story. We're not going to dwell on it too long, but I do want to read it to you because it has a lot of good things in it that we need to learn. But he said in John chapter 3, starting with verse 1, he said, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God." See, a lot of people know that. A lot of people confess Christ come from God. "For no man can do these miracles that except God be with him." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be what? Born again." That's right. "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So Nicodemus said unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old?" Now, I'm not saying any of you are old, but we all need to be born again. So he said, "When he is old, can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water," it's not talking about being baptized by water, so get that notion completely out of your head, "except a man be born of water," so that's talking about the living water of God. If you remember when he met the woman at the well, when Christ met the woman at the well, what did he tell her? He said, "If you would accept this water of mine, this living water," he said, "you'll never thirst again. It's a cleansing water. Except a man be born of this water and of the Spirit." So when we are saved, then we what? We receive, we're sealed with that indwelling Holy Spirit. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, let's just jump over to chapter 4, verse 10 here real quick. 4:10 says, "Jesus answered and said to her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, Give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and thou would have been given thee," what? "This living water," this cleansing. Now, if you jump right on over into chapter 7, verse 37, here's what he says. 7:37. "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him," what? "Come to me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow," what? "Rivers of living water." All right? So this is that water and the Spirit. And he said, that which is born of the flesh, that's is flesh, that'll stay flesh. But he said, that which is born of the Spirit is the Spirit. And he said, marvel not again that I said unto you, you must be born again. So that means, here we are, in all of humanity, it doesn't matter how good we are, all right? There is a lot of good people living in the world today, but goodness, good deeds cannot win you salvation from God. I don't care how many good deeds you perform in your life, that is not going to get you to heaven. Salvation can only be gained how? Through faith, believing in Christ Jesus. That is how we're saved. In Ephesians, he tells you this. Let's go over and read. These are all familiar verses, but we should write these down because when we're witnessing to people or talking to people, we need to know these scriptures. Over in Ephesians chapter 2, and let me start with verse 8. He says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is what? It is a gift of God. God's grace is a gift. He said it's not of works, because if we thought we were getting to heaven by works, all we would do, we would be boast about it, lest any man should boast. And in verse 10 he says, because we are His workmanship, created by Christ Jesus unto good works. Not our own good works, but we only do good works after we're saved for the Lord, which God hath before ordained, before, we've been talking about this on Thursday night, before creation, before the beginning of time, this was ordained, this was preordained for us, and that we should walk in this salvation that God has in store for us. So becoming a believer is a free gift, and it's available to who? It's available to everybody. That's right. And it comes from God. Salvation has nothing to do with what you think, how your worth is. And it also has nothing to do if you think you're worthless. Salvation has... God doesn't save you because you're worth something. God doesn't save you because you're worthless or something. God saves you because it is a free gift for Him. So salvation has nothing to do with our merits, with our good deeds. It has nothing to do with anything that we have done or anything that we think that we're going to do. But salvation has everything to do with Christ. With Christ and what Christ has done for us. So if you want to begin to build a life in Christ, we've got to learn to do what? We've got to learn to trust in Him. We've got to learn to have faith in Him. And we've got to have learned to believe upon Him. We learned some of this in today's Sunday school lesson. How much do we believe and trust in the Lord? So, still in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, starting with verse 7, here's what he says. In whom we have redemption through His blood, talking about Christ, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, which is good judgment, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath proposed in Himself. And he says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated, there's another one of those words that we don't like all the time, according to His purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. So what's that tell you when we're talking about what some of the things that we're supposed to do according to the will of God? One of the great things that we're supposed to do, we're supposed to be to the praise of God's glory. We can't do this if we're living of our own self-righteousness. We have to be living according to God, in whom also ye trusted after you heard the word of truth. So after you heard the word of truth and you were saved, he said the gospel of your salvation. So that means in order to be saved, I know we say you have to have faith believing in Christ, but before you ever get to that part, you have to be obedient to the word of God. Obedience to the word of God is man's whole life. If we're not obedient to the Word of God, then we never trust in the gospel. We're never saved. But he said after that, he said, then you were sealed with what? The Holy Spirit of promise, or the Holy Ghost of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto what? Here again, unto the praise and the glory of God. So the moment that we believed, we were sealed. At that very moment. Don't let anybody tell you that it takes years to get the Holy Spirit. It does not. The moment that we believe, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. So now we have our security in Christ. We have our eternal hope in Christ. And everything that we do now rests in the hands of God. So we're secure in the hands of God. This seal cannot be broken. We're going to learn that next Thursday. Even though I listened to a preacher this week, and I'm not going to say who it was, but the whole time he said you can be saved and lost, saved and lost. This seal cannot be broken. It cannot be broken. Your name can never be taken out of the book of life that God had put it in. So that's one thing that we understand. Because we were bought with a price. We were covered with the redeeming blood of Christ. We were stamped with the seal of His ownership. And now we have an eternal inheritance with God. That cannot be taken away. So since we are indwelled with this great attribute, or this great characteristic of God, this Holy Spirit, that means that the next thing that we must do in living our life in Christ, or building our life in Christ, we've got to learn to listen to that God gave us. He didn't just give it to us as a comfort. He said, I'm going to send you a comforter. But he said, this comforter is going to be truthful with you. He's going to tell you the truth of all things. He's going to lead you. He's going to guide you. But we've got to want that in our life. So now we've got to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. In the book of 1 Peter, here's what he says in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, starting with verse 12. He says, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with what? With the Holy Ghost. Okay? One of the key things here when you're listening to teaching or preaching or an example or whatever it is that's going on, the Word of God, if it is not preached with the Holy Ghost, which is sent down from heaven, then it's not worth anything. Because if it's not being preached by the Holy Spirit, it's man himself doing it. So he said the Word of God, or the gospel, which was preached unto you by the Holy Ghost, sent down. That's what the church is lacking today. You know that? Huh? And that's why we were talking about this the other day in a meeting that we had. The revivals and the things that are going on around the world today, they're lacking the preaching of the Holy Spirit. They're lacking the preaching of the Holy Spirit that is sent down from heaven. And he said, these are things that the angels are desiring to look upon, that want to have. So he says, in order to gain this, he says, gird up the loins of your mind. Because that's the first place that Satan is going to attack us. The mind. He says, gird up the loins of your mind. He says, be sober. And I'm not talking about your occasional drinking during the week. When I'm talking about be sober, I'm talking about getting rid of the sinfulness in your life so that we're not drunk in sinfulness, but we're the living water is what we're drinking up from God. And he says, be sober and hope to the end. Now, not hope that you're going to make it to the end. You don't get up in the morning and say, Lord, I hope I make it through another day. The hope to the end means we're always looking forward to going to be with the Lord, our eternal home with the Lord. So he said, gird up the loins of your mind, get rid of all that junk that is in there, be sober, hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And the very next verse he says, as obedient children. Obedience is the key. If we're not obedient to the Word of God, then we can't follow after the things, God's purpose and plan for our life. So that means as believers, we're to live our life following after and under and within the characteristics of God's love. That's what it's all about. That's when you learn that in John 3:16. For God so what? Loved the world. It was all about God's love. So this obedience now, it brings about responsibilities. And it brings about duties that come with being saved by grace through our faith in Jesus Christ. And the way that this comes about is we listen to the Holy Spirit that indwells within us, because that helps. That is what's helping to prepare our life so that every situation, you know, as believers, we get so hung up on the things that are happening to us in our life that we never get to our purpose and plan that God has for us as we live here upon this earth. Because every day when you get up, Satan is going to hit you with something. There's always going to be a situation. There's always going to be a circumstance. There's always going to be a trial, a tribulation, a temptation. And if we're so focused on that, then we went through that whole day and we were never productive for the Lord because we was always trying to get ourselves back right with the Lord. God doesn't want us to focus on those things in our life. God wants us to put those things in His hand so that every situation, every circumstance that we go through, that we're going to continue to walk with the Lord. We're not going to let that stop us or slow us down. So that means when we're faced with all these difficulties and our hearts begin to become so unsettled that, and our mind now is so confused that we can't do anything, now we're not listening to the Holy Spirit because of all this other stuff that's going on. We just need to turn that stuff over to the Lord, because the Holy Spirit has a great day in store for us. Doesn't matter what we're going through, the Holy Spirit has a great day in store for us. And we're only going to see it when we put all these other things aside. And we begin to focus on what God is trying to show us. So this means there has to be some self-discipline in our life. That's part of our responsibility. And there's got to be some self-control in our life. We have to choose to want to follow after the stability that God is trying to give us in our life so that we'll continue to walk with Christ. This strengthens our trust in God. And we need that in our life. God will help us if we'll allow Him to help us, because that is what He wants to do for us. So we've got to learn to build up our life in Christ through the leadership of the Holy Spirit, according and being obedient to the truth of God's Word. And He sums it all up for us. And we're going to use the scripture in Mark, because Mark adds to this that the other Gospels don't. But if you go with me to the book of Mark chapter 12, starting with verse 29, here's what He says. And Jesus answered Him, "The first of all the commandments is," okay, so we're summing this up, what to do if it's the Lord's will. And I know it's the Lord's will. Here, this sums it all up, what we're supposed to do according to the Lord's will. He says, "First of all, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." And here's what we're to do. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with" what? "All thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind." And Mark is the only place that you'll find he also says "with all thy strength." Mark adds in that action, that physical ability. Faith without works is dead. So Mark adds that. Christ, He added that in. When you see this recollection, that when Mark wrote this, "with all thy mind," he said, this is the first commandment. And he said, the second is just like it, only thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But you got to put in, because he said the second is just like the first. So when he says, thou shalt love thy neighbor, he means with what? With all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. There is none other commandment greater than these two. Our obedience to the truth of God's Word is our most important characteristic or aspect of living according to the will of God. Because man will always have an opinion. Man's always going to have an opinion. They're always going to have a rule, a regulation, something that, well, if you live by this, if you go by this checklist, you'll make it to heaven. You cannot follow no man's checklist to heaven. It will not get you there. And the reason that we know this is David says in the book of Psalm, the 119th Psalm, verse 89, he says, forever, O Lord, it's thy word that is settled in heaven. His word. God's word. Obedience to God's word. Not man's word, not man's rules and regulation, but God's word. This is where our wisdom comes from, this is where our knowledge comes from, and this is where God is going to show you understanding, is through His word. You can get interpretation from man, but if you want the true understanding, you've got to get it from God's word. So, we have to reframe ourselves from listening. Nancy tells me this all the time. She'll hear me listening to a preacher on social media, and she knows it's not something I'll follow. And she said, why don't you just quit watching that? You don't agree with him anyhow. We have to learn to reframe from listening to the gospel when it's being spoken or preached or taught by the knowledge of man. Because it's not good for us. And we've got to learn to follow after the truth of God's word. And when we do this, we'll get the gospel of truth. Because that's what it is. And it's all about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And that's what God has commanded for us to do in our life. And if He's commanded that this is what we're supposed to do, then it's got to be according to what? His will. So when you woke up this morning, did you say, if it's the Lord's will, I'll do this or do that? Because I know if it's the Lord's will, I'll do what it is that God wants me to do. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for this beautiful day that you've given us. We're thankful, Lord, that you allow us, Heavenly Father, to look into the truth of your word, Heavenly Father. And we would just pray this day, Lord, that as we do, that we would listen to the Holy Spirit, that leadership and guidance that you have given unto us to help us throughout the days of our lives, so that we might always be found doing those things, Lord, that are pleasing unto Thee. And we just pray this day, Lord, that as we look around, Lord, and as we're a part of the body of Christ, Heavenly Father, that we learn that You're first in our life, and then we're to love everybody else the same, because it is our goal, Lord, to see people come to know Thee before it is everlasting too late. We just pray, Heavenly Father, this day that You would help us, Lord, in our role, in our responsibility as being in Your leadership, Lord, to serve You, Heavenly Father, day and night, to show others what the truth of the saving grace of Jesus Christ is all about. Help us, Lord, to allow us to let our light so shine before others that they'll only see Your good works within each and every one of us. Please forgive us, Lord, for we have sinned and fallen short of Your glory. Help us, Lord, not to forget to give You praise honor and glory for all things. For in Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Okay, Thursday evening Bible study will be at Big Isaac. And we're still working on our name being written in the Book of Life. So, and this Thursday we're kind of focusing on the security of that. How secure are we in knowing that if our name's there, it can never be taken away? So we're going to learn that this Thursday evening in Bible study. All right. So there's lots of things going on during the week. I think Gigi always posts a list of stuff that's happening. I know the Apple Butter Festival starting this week. There's some other fall fests going on. So does anybody else have anything?
Hey, every first Sunday.
Yes. Yes. If everybody's good with that.
Mom and Dad just wasn't sure.
Okay. Yes. All right.
I missed all that too.
Anything else? If not, we'll stand and praise the Lord three times.
Let me ask you that. Do you have someone on that end posting that stuff too?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yep. Is everybody ready? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you all for joining in on the phone.
Thank you.